Okay, good evening, everyone. We are in the midst of a discussion of the halachas of Amir La'akum, under what circumstances one is permitted to ask a non-Jew to do something for him on Shabbos which he couldn't do himself, and when is it not permissible. So we mentioned last time that that even if a Jew, even if a non-Jew does it on his own, if he does it for the purpose of the Jew, you're not allowed to be nana from it. But what I wanted to add in that is that not in the event that a non-Jew does something for a Jew on Shabbos, whether he was asked to do it, whether he was not asked to do it, if it's a situation where there was no heter, where it's not okay, then the halacha is not only can't you benefit from it on Shabbos, but even after Shabbos, you have to wait until what's called b'chadei shi'asu, which means you have to wait the amount of time that it would have taken for the malacha to be done after Shabbos, and only then can you benefit from it. For example, if a non-Jew goes ahead and he harvests your field, and he picks a bunch of fruit and brings it in. So you have to, before you can be nana from the fruit, you have to wait the amount of time it would take for it to be done after Shabbos. Or if he cooks food, non-Jew goes ahead on Shabbos and he cooks food for a Jew, even if it's a situation where it's not a problem of bishul akum. For example, is the type of food that was, let's say, a vegetable that was edible raw, so that it's not usra's bishul akum. Or maybe the Jew had left the fire on, and the non-Jew cooked on the fire which the Jew had left on, so there's no bishul akum problem. Nevertheless, you can't eat that food after Shabbos till enough time passes from the time Shabbos ends, enough time passes that he could have cooked it. And the idea is that you shouldn't benefit at all from the malacha. If you're going to be allowed to eat it right after Shabbos, then you're going to benefit from the fact that he did it on Shabbos, even though we didn't allow you, the halacha doesn't allow you to eat it on Shabbos, but allows you to, if it would allow you to eat it the moment after Shabbos, you still benefit it. So number one, you'd be benefiting from the malacha. And a second concept is, you still may ask a non-Jew to do something for you. Well, let's take a more extreme case. If a person's car is not working and he really wants the car ready for after Shabbos, so, assuming it's a typical situation where there is no heter, there's no heter to have it fixed. He wants to go. They're planning your trip to wherever, and they wanted to leave right after Shabbos. And right before Shabbos, he discovers that his car is not working. Something's wrong with the car. So he brings it to the mechanic, and the guy's just about to close the shop. And he says, and he asks him, I really need this done. Could you do it for me tomorrow morning? He says, yeah, I can get it done tomorrow. I'll take a look. It's probably, according to what you're describing, it sounds like it's about a 2-hour job. No problem. Plenty of time to do it tomorrow. So 3-hour job. What luck is that that you'd have to wait after Shabbos, besides the fact that you can't bring it into him and say, okay, so I'll wait 2-3 hours after Shabbos. No, that doesn't allow it. That doesn't make it mutter. I'm saying even if you did it when it wasn't mutter, you had the guy fix the car in Shabbos, then you have to wait till the amount of time it would take for him to fix the car after Shabbos, which I imagine involved fixed it and whatever. So you have to wait till after Shabbos, the amount of time it would take for the malach to be done. So, okay, so that it's more stringent in that respect, in that regard, than if a Jew does something. If Chas v'Shalom, a Jew is mechalal Shabbos, and he does something, so you can't be nana from it on Shabbos. There are details there too, but let's say a person did it b'mezid, whatever it is, you can't be nana from it on Shabbos, going to everyone, but you don't have to wait after Shabbos. In the standard case, you're allowed to benefit from it right after Shabbos, because if a Jew did it, we're not afraid that that's gonna, if you're allowed to benefit, that it's gonna lead you to do it again, or to ask a person to do it for you again. Typically, another Jew is not gonna do it for you anyway. He's not gonna be mechal Shabbos on your behalf, and etc. So as a general, I'm generalizing here because we're not learning the halachas now of Maisa Shabbos to a Jew, and there are differences, but I'm just pointing out conceptually, it's a conceptual difference that by a Jew, the general rule is it's mutter right after Shabbos, whereas a guy did, it's not mutter until b'chadei shi'asu. Now, I did mention also last time the idea that when it's an issa d'rabbanan, something which even for a Jew would only be d'rabbanan, then there are certain circumstances in which it's actually mutter to ask a Jew, ask a non-Jew rather, to ask a non-Jew to do the malacha, to do the Shabbos violation, and of course then to be benefit from it. So we mentioned one example, one case is a hefsed meruba. If it would be a matter of a major financial loss, if this something wasn't taken care of on Shabbos, and what has to be taken care of is only a derabanan, it's only an issa derabanan, so you'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it to avoid the major financial loss. I gave the example of muksa, where a lot of fresh meat or chicken was left out of the freezer, and again, a lot of these examples, they'll touch in other areas of halacha. Is that really muksa? Is it makom to say maybe it's not muksa? But even granting that it would be muksa, but if it's going to all spoil, you have a few hundred dollars worth of meat or fish that's going to spoil. So you could ask a non-Jew to put into the freezer. Another example, Rabbi Simcha Ben Kohen gives in his sefer, an example similar but involves a different issue, and that's, let's say the plug came out of your freezer. This is probably maybe a more shchiach case, where the plug, your freezer got unplugged, and it's filled with a lot of food. Maybe, you know, some people stock up a lot. They have a freezer with surplus food. Surplus meaning it's not that they're using every day, but they buy meat or chicken in bulk, especially before Pesach or whatever it is, and they have a freezer packed with a lot of stuff. Could be a lot of money. And they discover that somehow the plug got pulled out, or they see on Shabbos how somebody walks by and kicks the plug out unintentionally. And if it's going to sit that way, could be if it just got out Friday night and you don't touch it a whole Shabbos, very likely nothing would happen. But let's say you discover the plug's out and you really, you know, it's been out already. You see, you open the freezer and you see, some stuff is already beginning to soften, or some of the liquids are, they're more slushy now than they are frozen. And you realize that if you leave it this way till after Shabbos, it's very likely going to be a significant loss. So he says you'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to plug it in, to plug in the freezer on Shabbos and have it go back on, which we consider derabanan. According to the majority of poskim, it's derabanan. There is a famous sheet of the Chazon Ish that would say that that's an issur d'oraisa because of boneh. But most approach that as a derabanan, and certainly when you're asking a guy to do it, which is already a derabanan, so as a second derabanan vis-a-vis amir lakum, we could certainly look at it as a derabanan. You could ask the guy to plug it in. I thought that was a very, very good example, a very vivid example of these cases to prevent a major loss. Or another case he gives, of a appliance, an air conditioner that froze over. I don't know if that happens in Miami, but it definitely happens in places where it's not so hot, but it was during the summer and you had air conditioning on, and then it got particularly cool, or for whatever reason, or maybe because of a malfunction, and the machine froze over, and it could actually, if it stays on the whole Shabbos, chugging and chugging, trying to produce cold air, but it's frozen, it could cause a hefsid, it can cause a loss of, you know, a breakage of the machine. So that would be another example of something where you could have a non-Jew to flip it off. So turning it off is a derabanan. We mentioned that last week, that even turning off a light is derabanan because the malach shein tzricha legufa, but certainly turning off or unplugging an electric appliance, which is not lights or heat, not a crock pot and not a light, but it's just an electric motor. Once again, except according to the Chazon Ish, you're not dealing with the deraisa, you're dealing with the derabanan. So that would be another example where you could ask a non-Jew to help you out by turning it off or pulling the plug on the machine so that it won't get ruined. Another category is for a dvar mitzvah, another category where you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a derabanan. I don't remember if I mentioned this last week, but let's be a little bit more detailed, is a dvar mitzvah. To fulfill a mitzvah. So, for example, let's say you discover Friday night that you don't have wine for Kiddush or you don't have challah. Somehow there was an oversight and you don't have challah for the Shabbos meal, or you don't have some of the other basic foods for a Shabbos meal, So there's a neighbor next door that you could borrow from. However, there's no Erev. If you live in a place where there's no Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, you don't live in Flatbush, New York, but you live in most communities if not most of the Jewish communities where the streets are considered to be only Carmelist. They're not considered to be Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. They're considered to be a Carmelist, and therefore, that's why an Erev could be constructed. So Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, an Erev can't even be constructed. You know, the way we construct an Erev, it's a Pesach, it wouldn't even work. But so you live in a place where an Erev could be constructed, but there is no Erev, or maybe there is an Erev, but it's down. Or there's an Erev, but, for good reasons, you don't rely on it. You consider it not to be valid. But it's still only the Rabbanan. The Issa to carry from your friend's house to your house is only an Issa the Rabbanan. So you could have a non-Jew, even if it's already Shabbos, it's already Tzeis HaKochavim, it's already Shabbos Mamish, you could still ask a non-Jew to carry over for you for the Tzarech Mitzvah, carry over the challah or the wine or other basic foods for Shabbos. Well, let's say you had guests for Shabbos and you don't have proper bedding for your guests or some other basic tzrachim, basic needs for a guest, for Chnas Tzarechim, or other Shabbos needs. Obviously, a mitzvah, the mitzvah is going to be typically going to be a mitzvah, a Shabbos mitzvah. Sure, it could be a bris milah, but usually it's going to be, but that's also a bris milah comes out on Shabbos. It's those are shrachim for that yom, for that day. Meaning, we're not talking about asking him for a dvar mitzvah, which is only nogea after Shabbos. We're talking about something you need on Shabbos, so you'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to carry it from your neighbor's house to your house. Because that type of carrying, as I said, in most locations is only the Rabbanan. And as a result, you're asking the guy to do it the Rabbanan. And that would be mutter to do b'makom mitzvah. Okay, tomorrow, maybe we'll continue with another couple of more of the categories. And what we have to speak out is about the din of asking a guy to do malacha ben hashmashas. So far, we're talking about even if it's mamish itzumo shel yom, it's Shabbos mamish, it's after Tzeis HaKochavim. When it's before it says a kochavim, even if it's after sunset, the halacha is more lenient, and hopefully we'll get to that soon. In the meantime, bidding you all a good night, and I'll speak next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.